Sorry, I didn't mean to confuse anyone. 33rd chapter of Exodus. We have a situation here with the children of Israel. The Lord had a special divine guidance He wanted to give them. He had His plan that He wanted to set in motion in their life. He had a place He wanted to take them. And He'd already described it as a land flowing with milk and honey. There was a lot of things that they had. There's some kind of clutter in their lives that was hindering this from happening, the goal from being reached. Let's read in here, 33rd chapter, and we're just going to start here with the first verse and read down a little bit. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I'll drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and all the other ites, Jebusites. And third verse, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for you're a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. So evidently, now, there was God being all-knowing and seeing who they are. There's a problem. Now, I think God would have wanted to be in the midst. He wanted to be right there. But there were some things that was holding that closeness of the Lord away from them, that there was something that was blocking that. Well, let's go on down. You're a stiff-necked people. Fourth verse says, And when the people heard this, said evil tiding, this report that the Lord couldn't be there with them because of their stiff-neckedness, they mourned. And no man put on him his ornaments. And the Lord said unto Moses, Say unto the children of Israel, You're stiff-necked people. I'll come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off the ornaments which from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. Now, we have the term ornaments in here. Now, right now, I'm not talking about outward ornaments right now. But there was something here that these folks, what is adornment? What is it? What's that for? What's the purpose of ornamentation and adornment?
Make you look nicer.
Make you, what?
To attract attention.
Brother Leslie said to make you look nicer. It's also to kind of mask the real, isn't it? It kind of covers up who we are. You ever seen people put all things all over their face? You ever seen that painting and take a dark pen and line right around their eye to make their eye look like it stands out or something? What do you think that's for? It's evidence of a lot of different things, and pride's one of them. A basic thing, yes, pride is generally the root of that. But this thing, I'm not talking about just this, what I was talking about, this type of adornment. But there was something that was holding off the closeness of the Lord. Now, spiritually, there are things that can hold off the closeness of the Lord. And generally there are things that we add to try to make us look something that we're not. We kind of put on to make us look prettier. Okay? I want to appear something that I'm not. We That's right. That's exactly right. It masks the real. This is part of what I want to talk about. It goes that whole gamut.
It's the work of man's own hands.
There you go. There you go. Work of man's hands. Cosmetics. Church of God doesn't have any cosmetics, folks. What? Well, let me say, there's the adornment of righteousness. What? Okay, what are those things? We want to get to that here in a little bit. Because there is an adornment we want to have. But before we're adorned with that, we've got to put off the other things. There is something that God, you know, God still has the same desire today. He wants to be close. He really wants His children in such a situation that He can just have us up close to Him. And there won't be any stiffness in us. Did you know? I told this back home recently. It came out in my mind in a message. My Aunt Dolores, when she was little, she wasn't talking very well because her term was, it was still baby talk. But her mother was wanting her to come over and sit close to her. You know, move over on the seat, come over here by me. And she didn't want to. Her response was, and this sounds kind of strange, be caught by caught with me, which she meant baby will sit by herself. I'll sit here by me. I'll do fine. God, if that is in our heart, if that attitude is in our heart, it will have a separation between, if that's what we're adorned with, a stiff neck. You know, the ornaments here, they really did put off some physical ornaments. But there are some things that we can develop, a culture we can develop in our lives that are ungodly. That begin, if we let those seeds grow, they will cause us to have a separation. A little, I'll take care of myself, Lord. That's okay. I'll just be by myself. Did you know that will cause us to not have the closeness that the Lord would like for us to have? It will also hinder us from getting the blessing that God really has for us. And so to get that blessing and to cuddle up close to the Father, we're going to have to put off some things. For one thing, the blessing, Brother Leslie covered this some yesterday, over there in Matthew, the fifth chapter, where it's the blessing was, blessed are those that are poor in spirit, who feel their need. If I feel self-sufficient, are you going to get anything? Or you're not going to want to get anything because I feel like I'm fine. Baby will sit by himself. But the fact is, we're all little children that are really, we can't survive without the touch of our Father. Can't do it. What other ornaments? Any ornaments come to your mind? Spiritual things that sometimes can be a hindrance. Get to thinking, is there anything, things that can hinder our walk with the Lord? Anything that would hinder us being able to clearly come up close to the Lord? What was it that was hindering Adam and Eve? What was it? What had they adorned themselves with? Don't tell me fig leaves now. Now, that's what physically they tried. But there was, what was it? What was it holding them off? What, they were hiding, weren't they? The Lord still wanted to come up. The Lord came down to talk with them. He wanted to be close to them. But they were hiding over the bushes. What happened? Why? What? Yes. Sin. Covers a lot of territory right there. They had got to putting on some things that God didn't want them to put on, didn't they? They got to be curious. And it wasn't just Eve. Adam got in there too. Got to being curious about things they did had no business being curious about, folks. You know, there are some things around in this world that God doesn't want us to be, we don't even need to be curious about. Don't get involved with it. Don't get up close to it. Don't get to smelling or looking at the tree. Not the fragrance of it or the sight of it. Because in the day you eat of it, it will cause the damage. long-lasting damage. And if we adorn ourselves with that, the next time the Lord comes along, we're going to be hiding in the bushes because something's a stiff-neckedness, a selfishness. Something took the place of where God wants. Anything else? Sorry? Being stubborn. That's right. It'll hold God off every time, won't it? Sure will. If I want my way and not God's way, again, that's kind of like Aunt Dolores said, I'll sit by myself. We're going to take that attitude. It'll hold God off. Go ahead. That's a fact. God had already told them it wasn't for them. The best thing they could have done is never looked over there. Maybe even build a fence. I don't even want to see it. Stay away from it. In the midst of the garden. Yeah.
That's where the grace of God can keep us to live godly in this present evil world.
Right.
But if we get stiff-necked about it, that's where we get in trouble.
That's right.
Sister said, stubborn. There are two requests in here about a crick in the neck.
Uh-huh.
It's because it's hard to move.
Yeah.
And it hurts.
Yeah.
God can't, if we're not easily moved by the Lord, we're going to get in trouble by the tree. But there's a measure of grace that we can live
right there.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's why he gets all of the glory. We can't save ourselves. We can't keep ourselves from that tree. It is
the grace of God. We do have some things he wants us to do, though. He wants us to set our affections on things above.
That's how we get the grace.
Brother Tony, would you want to say something? That's right. There's where Scripture comes in. Flee some of these things. Flee these things that are tempting. Flee fornication. Those things that are of the flesh. Flee them. We don't need to give them sympathy. Don't look over there. Just stay away from it. That's right. Didn't say when you climb over into it. That's right. That's right. That's one of the prayers that. That's right. That's right. Don't put yourself in that position. Flee it. Stay away from it. If we adorn ourselves with a haughty spirit, I'll find myself right in temptation's way. And I'll be a big target then. Anything else?
We can adorn ourselves with, you're talking about the different adornments?
Yeah, so.
The Bible tells us to beware of the root of bitterness.
All right. That doesn't look like a very pretty adorning thing, is it, does it? But there are people put that on with pride. Display it. I've got a right to feel this way. And now hang on to it tenaciously. They'll put it on like eyeliner. And when you look in their eyes, you see the bitterness poking out.
But you notice that's always based on what somebody else done and not what Jesus Christ did. Anybody that has their eyes on Jesus Christ will not have bitterness.
That's true. Anytime we lean to the old carnal man and we get our eyes off the Lord, we're going to have these type of things cropping up in our heart. And these things, let me give you an example that the Lord really warned me about young in my walk with the Lord. Remember that scripture that says, lay aside every sin and the weight that does so easily beset us. and run with patience the race that is set before us. One time, it'd been a real dry, dusty time, and I was going out to get the cows up to milk, and we had a little shower. And the dust had been pretty thick, and the rain only went down about a quarter inch in that dust. And as I was walking along, every step I took, more of that muddy surface just clung to my boots until my boots were big and heavy, and I'd go stomping them off and try. And the Lord talked to me about it right then. He said, lay aside every weight. And He impressed that on me. About these things that can accumulate. The first step out there, I didn't notice the weight so much. But the farther you go into it, the more it'll grow and the more it'll accumulate. It'll wear you out. If we get to sympathizing with some of these things, the root of bitterness, it doesn't stay with just me. That little root of bitterness will be infectious. Not just to my soul, but it'll infect others that I'm around. Something about its very nature causes us to where, if I've got that bitterness in there, I'll be whispering to you about it. And then you'll be whispering to somebody else. And somebody else will say, why are they over there? They can't only speak. What's the deal? Go, well, this is what it is.
We can spiritualize that.
Oh, yes. Justify it. With all, even Scripture. But if it's still what it is, it's a adornment. We can use Scripture to justify things, and we can adorn. I don't care how well you try to adorn it, it's still ugly up underneath. And again, that type of adornment does not belong to God's church. Doesn't belong to it at all. One bowed down and worshiped. The other said, just go ahead and curse God and die. One was adorned with the right spirit. The other was adorned with an old carnal of the flesh. You know, there's a reason why old brother John, remember the disciple that leaned on Jesus' breast? And as he grew and as he developed more and more in life, it got on later down and he wrote the book, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And he started writing. He said, little children. And he said, love not the world. You know, and we begin to understand that he meant that, folks. He knew that the love of the world would be destructive to you and I. He said, love not the world. Don't be adorned with the love of the world. It's a poison. It's a thing that will never be able to be reconciled to the Spirit of Christ. It can't happen. It can't happen. Now, when we feel the Lord come and deal with us and say, I have something against you. The old carnal man would like to stand up and say, well, I'm doing fine. Have you ever had somebody come up and point out something wrong that you're doing? And you said, oh, thank you for telling me that. You know, that's an attitude we ought to cultivate. But the carnal man would like to respond, I wish you'd keep your nose out of my business. You ever had that feeling? The carnal man doesn't take it very well. The Lord would like for us to be able to take correction, folks. But the carnal man. And so when the Lord comes and corrects us, sometimes we would like to, stand up and defend myself. That type of adornment won't get us very far. Not with the Lord. It'll keep Him separated from us. We need to adorn ourselves with what? All right, what is meekness? We do. All we need to have this meekness. What is meekness? All right.
I think that Stephen
demonstrated
meekness as those ones were scattered.
All right.
And he looked up to the Father and said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what to do. Jesus demonstrated that meekness in the James demonstrated that meekness. Moses demonstrated that meekness. We have all these biblical examples of those that demonstrated that meekness. I want you to just associate meekness with humility.
That's exactly right.
If we could say that it would be humility combined with grace to still love your fellow man no matter what he does for you, to pray for those that persecute you, to bless those that curse you, that's meekness.
And that's not flesh. The flesh doesn't get there. That's grace of God. Go ahead, Brother Tony.
Mm-hmm. A horse that's wild, it's tame and broken, you can easily pull to the right, to the left, and they'll go where the master wants to go. It's been broken.
Yes. Sure.
You're moving on to what to put them on now?
Yes, I guess we are kind of going
in there. In Colossians, it deals with both aspects of it. Colossians, the third chapter.
It sure does.
It says that now we also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, out of your mouth, lie not one to another. In other words, there goes that cover up there.
Okay.
No deception now.
That's right.
Seeing that you have put off
the old man, and it's
with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. In verse 12 it says, put on therefore
as the elect of
God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. Now that's in counter distinction to that stiff neck.
Yeah, that's right.
Humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things,
put on charity,
which is
the bond of perfectness. There's a whole lot in those verses he just got through reading. And I doubt seriously we'll get them covered. But there's a lot in that for us today to put on, folks. That there's a responsibility. There's something for us to do to put this on. Seek it. That's right. And there ought to be a mourning. There ought to be a place when I realize where I am that I mourn what I did or who I am. And to put it off is not just to say, well, I guess I'll exchange this for this. There's an abhorrence to what I used. If you had lying, if that's what we've adorned ourselves with, deception, there ought to be an abhorrence to that old man. He looks ugly, folks. The old man, I don't care how much you try, even in the flesh, I don't care how much we try to doll it up, it's still pretty ugly up underneath. Spiritually, it's exceedingly ugly. The old carnal man, don't try to make him look better. Ask the Lord to make him new. It's not a new leaf, because a new leaf still looks as ugly as the old leaf. What we need to do is have the new creature in Christ Jesus, the new man. Not after the flesh, but after Christ. And so this is what we want to put on now. There ought to be a mourning when we realize the ugliness of what sin has done to us and the separation. You see, the Lord wants to bless folks, but that causes a separation. The Lord wants to be close, but these elements in our life can't do any. If we leave those there, the only thing it can produce is a separation. If the Lord came in there because holiness cannot dwell with unholiness, the only thing He has left to do is destroy in a moment. So, voluntarily recognize where we stand and say, I'm putting these things off. By the grace and help of God, I'm putting these things off. Meekness. Meekness is one of these qualities, and I'm glad, brother, you mentioned about Brother Stephen. Think about this for a little bit. Brother Stephen was standing there and he was telling the folks the truth. And as he longed for them, folks, he wasn't doing this in vindictiveness. He was teaching them, hoping to bring them up to a place where they would receive this. And they came up there and he saw the hardness of their heart. He saw the hardness of their face. They were adorned with that. And he said, oh, you always resist just like your fathers did. And then as they began to gnash on him, and they began to stone him. Now, sometimes we can get the idea of meekness as being, well, I'm sorry, you know, you're right. Sometimes it's not saying you're right, folks. Sometimes you're standing, say, it's still right, but I'll take the stones. Being willing to stand for truth, folks. If nobody else thinks it is, besides your Heavenly Father witnessing in your heart, meekness is standing there and still loving, being steadfast and true. Meekness isn't being a doormat. Meekness is a humility, full of grace, standing true. It's hard to define that in the English language. I believe there's other language that may have been more specific for us to be able to. But meekness is a very godly quality, folks. And that's what we need to be adorned with. Put it on. Seek it. And when we find we lack in it, seek for some more. Seek for a greater display of meekness in our life. Brother Stanley one time home was bringing a message about the precious jewels of the Lord. Some of these things are humility and meekness, jewels of God. These are adornments that God has for us. And this is one thing he said during that message that struck me, because I knew when we start praying, have you ever tried to pray for humility? That's all right. Pray for it, folks. That's don't shy away from it. But when you begin to pray for humility, you're liable to have some trials. Then Brother Leslie went on, and Brother Stanley went on to say, these jewels are worth the price. And they are indeed. They're worth whatever you and I have to pay for it. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. When we get into this area, now folks, we can look around and say, Lord, I hope somebody else is sure getting this because they need that. If we're looking at it like that, then we've already got our focus on it. We need to say, Lord, it's me. I want to be adorned in this. And the more you and I seek this type of godly adornment, the closer you and I will get. Unity is not born out of human coalition. Hope you understand what I just said. Let me try to say it differently. Unity is not born out of us learning a common ground to stand on. That's not unity. That's learning how just to cooperate on a certain level. Unity is born out of loving the same Father and following the same Father and having the Spirit of God working in our life, divinely working in our hearts. That causes unity that we can't break. Well, we can if I follow another Father. But when we follow the Lord, that is a unity that just brings us together. And that's the unity we must have. We do that by putting on Christ. Taking away the facade. Taking away the outward adornment of the Spirit. Now, I'm not, again, in our talking right here, I'm not really talking about our physical adornment. It goes into that. But I'm talking about, you see, when this Spirit is adorned with godliness, the outside man's going to be fine. You're not going to be wanting to display yourself in a worldly, old, carnal way anyway. Make sure the flesh, make sure the Spirit is adorned with righteousness and godliness. Put off that facade. Put off that we try to act something that we're not. Did you know it's hard to keep up a facade? Try to act something that we're not? That's a weight to carry. I always have to be on my toes trying to see, well, see if I'm impressing them right. Lay it down. Let's put off the adornment. This is who I am. And then we come humbly to the Lord. Lord, I want to be like you. I want to be led by you. Anybody else have some other thoughts along this, what we should put on? Yeah. All by themselves. It's a blessing. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. That's true. So we should adorn ourselves with it. Yes. See, the stiff-necked person will never be able to receive like that. The stiff-necked person will always be defending themselves in their own way and will lose that great benefit of a brother. There's a scripture that says something about the smiting or the wounds of a friend are faithful. Is that way it goes? This is, it's just true. And there are sometimes, folks, what does it say? Admonishing one another? What does that mean? When you come to admonish me, that means sometimes we need to have admonishment one from each other? But it is a reproof. Yes, a gentle reproof. What's the best place to receive admonishment? Folks, I'd rather have a saint admonish me any day. It's the best way for admonishment. Saint or God Himself. That's true. But I would a lot rather be admonished by God's people than the world. The kindest, most gentle. Yes, David said, "Let me fall in the hands of God." Well, let's go back over here now to Exodus. These folks, they put off their ornaments. Put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do with thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. Some of these ornaments come off hard, folks. Some of those ornaments come off hard. Stripped themselves. Took them off. And laid them down. Children of God should always humble down. That's right. When we realize the lack and the lack of the closeness of God, the lack of His blessing, and He begins to identify what the problem is, where the area of the problem is, that's the time to just humble down and say, "Yes, Lord." And even if it comes off hard, strip it off and lay it down. Well, what happened? What's the result of this, folks? Later on, Moses was dealing with the Lord, 13th verse. "Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me thy way, that I may know thee." Isn't that a good thing? Hunger. "Lord, I want to know your way." Now we're in a good position to get that. The Lord began to show himself also to these people. On down, and this is part of what I wanted to get to also. When there are things that we are adorning ourselves with, carnal defenses, even good ways of thinking that surely this should be right. I'll give you a little example. I thought one time that I could... Oh, I had a plan figured out that if I handled this bit of money this way and I did this, that if we worked in time, I could have a certain amount of money that I could give this minister and that minister. They wouldn't have to work and they would be, so I could just, we could support the ministry. Doesn't that sound good? The Lord wasn't in it. Let me tell you. The Lord wants you and I to learn to walk by faith. I read a tract one time by Brother George Wynn. And it's been a long time since I've seen it. Brother George Wynn used to live right in this area. And Brother George Wynn in that tract told of him and his wife didn't have the means to feed themselves that one winter. They were in a close place. And maybe we say, well, saints should have come to their aid. I don't know all the circumstances and possibly, but let me tell you, God came to their aid. Brother George went to the Lord in prayer. They didn't have food. And if I remember right, my memory, it's been a long time ago since I read this, but it sounds like, I think I heard, they heard something at the door. Brother George went there and opened up the door, and there was a rabbit on the doorstep. Head was eaten off. I didn't remember that. But there's a rabbit, a dead rabbit on their doorstep. Thank the Lord. He took that and they had a meal. And it kept happening, didn't it? They began to see, they saw a cat bringing this rabbit to their doorstep. Another way. The Lord, you see, if that situation wouldn't have happened, there was a testimony that we wouldn't have heard. We can, in our human thinking, devise systems and ways to overcome needs. If the Lord's telling you to do that, amen. If He's not telling you to do that, leave it alone. Because God's way is right. God's way will leave behind the ultimate blessing. It'll bring us near to God. It will close the gap. It will bring us into close proximity and enjoyment in the Father's arms. And that's right. How to deal with prosperity as well as need. God can help us through both of them. It's God's way. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory, is another thing that Moses was asking of the Lord. On down here, I wanted to get to this part of this verse, 21st verse. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. I just want to stop right there. There's a place by the Lord, folks. Yes. That's right. Stand upon something solid, Brother Mansell. Thank the Lord. Yeah, I shouldn't have stopped right there yet, should I? But there is a place by God. There is a place for you and I to dwell that the Lord wants us there. There is a place up close to the Lord. Now, the Lord always wanted. He said He wanted to be in their midst. He longed to be. He said, I can't. You've got your own adornment. You're taking your own ways. You got your own stiff-neckedness. And I don't care how much the Lord wants to help us, folks. He can't help us when we're taking our own way. What's to do with it? With my facade. With everything I'm trying to portray. All my own self-righteousness. You know how God sees it? Dirty rags. Stinks. All polluted. So it's time then to strip it off. Even if it comes off hard. Strip it off. And then He says, there's a place by me where you can stand on a rock. It's a place of dwelling. There's a place of stability. There's a place you can build your life on. Young folks, adorn yourself with the righteousness of God. Young couples raising children, adorn yourself with the righteousness of God. And when I say righteousness of God, it includes all the character that goes along with it. There's a lot in those scriptures that we didn't even try to cover. But it has to do with many facets of our life. But it can all be summed up with godliness. The robe of righteousness. Don't you want to have that covered, you? Doesn't that look so much better than gaudy things of the world? What were the saints adorned? When John saw that number, what did they look like? Wasn't even a wrinkle on them, were there? Nothing staining that one. They were adorned with righteous white robes. And it reminded people of the purity. You know, the Lord is looking down and He's wanting us to be close. It's His great desire of His heart for us to be close to Him. He wants us that close. And He says, there's a place by me where you can stand upon a rock, where you can build your life. Remember the two incidences over there in the latter part of the Sermon on the Mount, the seventh chapter, latter part, we talked about the two houses that were being built. One was built. They both built houses. And one they built on something that wasn't solid. And you're going to build your life. You're going to build your house. Young, you're going to build your house. Lord gives you life and time, you're going to build. And you can choose if you want to try to build on something that's shifting, that won't stand the test of time. We can all try that. But I want to tell you what, the winds are going to come. The day's going to declare what's there. It's going to happen. The Lord Himself will test. The winds came, the rain, the flood, and beat upon that house. One was built on something shifting. The other was built upon a rock. One stood, the other fell. If we try to build on all of our own self-righteousness, our own adornment, my own, I think I'm doing fine. Well, I've done it like the saints have done it for years. Be careful. Do it like God wants you to do it. You know, this, I'm not saying what the saints have chosen for years. I'm not saying that's wrong at all. But there's a reason why they did that. Because they dug down and found their reason. And if you and I build on just, well, Brother Samuels used to teach this. He might have taught good. But you understand why? Get a hold of it yourself. We've got to build on that. Don't adorn ourselves with something fake. But dig down to that rock. Strip off. And I want you, Lord, with your meekness, your righteousness, your robe of purity, separate from the world. He said, separate from sinners. Do you remember that? Did that mean that he didn't go out and try to save sinners? No, he dined with sinners. You know what he meant by separate from sinners? He had no sin. It wasn't defiling him at all. He stood clear of that. You and I need to stand clear from the things of the world, the defiling things. Don't put it on. Build that wall. He wants to be a wall of salvation to you and I. There is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. That's a place the Lord has for every one of us. But you'll never get there if we adorn ourselves with all our old carnal ways. It won't work. But when we lay it down and take on God, adorned with that meek and quiet spirit, adorned with the things of righteousness, the Lord then says, come right up here close to me, son. I want to bless you. And the world will see it, and they're going to look on and say, I want that too. May the Lord bless us this evening. Yes. Go right ahead. What chapter again? In Exodus. Yeah. Yes. 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 You'll see me.
The protection.
Yeah.
The care. The love. And he wants to be able to see his glory.
Yes, he does. He asked to see his glory. And he wants us to see his glory. What that does, that anchors us. These experiences that we have in life, like Brother George Wynn, what he had, that anchored him more. Let's let these things anchor us in the things of God.